rocks and stuff and...
So like steam points?
Yeah. Put down, and he had a driving deal. He made it for driving, and like driving point down and stuff. And,
okay, what's a churn drill as compared to other kinds?
Well, a churn drill just cuts
your
diamond on your bit. But driving, you just have a point, and you thaw the permafrost and stuff ahead of the... You pump water, either steam or water down.
Right.
So you thaw the ground, and then you keep driving your pipe down, adding on and driving down.
Okay, exactly like for the dredges.
Yeah, and that's the way they got Henry's well.
Oh, okay. So how many people would it take to, you say, with Andy Anderson, he hired just one guy.
Yeah.
So were these ever family businesses, like the wife was
helping? Well, no, Andy Anderson was in... he used to be a farmer out there on the farmer's loop, and he raised potatoes and stuff. And
there was a Thibodeau that drilled, too.
Thibodeau, that's the guy.
Oh, he's
that's
the one.
That's the guy. Yeah. And,
what was his first name? Thibodeau what?
Andy got a cat. He started clearing ground. He cleared most of my homes, but the ground that I had cleared. And most of this ground out here was cleared by Andy Anderson's tractor and stuff.
Yeah, Ann mentioned him.
And then he got that well drilling deal, and that was his business.
Well, so if he drills Tilly's artesian well...
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't do it.
No,
Tilly's. Somebody else did Tilly's. And so, but Tilly's was not enough to supply more.
Oh, yeah. But Steel Creek ran down there and...
It was on the way home.
Everybody got their water out of Steel Creek. We just go over to Henry's once in a while and get a can of coal and stuff.
So when did you quit using the Steel Creek? Was it
before? After I got a well.
After you got the well, but the water coming out of Steel Creek was still good?
Oh, yeah. There wasn't anyone living up to Steel Creek at that time.
What about that mine? Was it dumping into the creek?
No, I wasn't worried about that.
That's just natural stuff.
Well, natural mud in the water.
No, it's all gravel piles and stuff. All the time you get any mud in, someone went up there and stirred it up and stuff. It was back away from the creek.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was pure water, good water going down Steel Creek. So real good water.
Then
we melted snow and for use. See, I didn't get my well operating until 54, and I moved out on the homestead in spring of 49, lived there ever since. Mm-hmm.
On College Road, there used to be a well driller. He was a graduate civil engineer, and he'd gone to Antarctica and drilled in Antarctica. How do I describe where it was? He had stuff was in a quonset hut across from Jurassic Peak.
Yes.
And what was the building? They had a sign up in the building you read the other day when we went by, Bruce.
Across from Jurassic? That's by that. Joe Scott's across from Jurassic, and there's that
the landscaper, LeBrun's.
Oh, it's closer to town than that.
Oh, man. Well, what about it? He was another well driller?
The fact that we were trying to pin down what all were the well drillers in the community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I thought of that Thibodeau, Jules.
Jules Thibodeau, that sounds
Jules
right.
Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And is he a homesteader out here, too?
No. He was in the plant business and he lived around town there.
Did he? Well, there are Thibodeaus now.
Yeah,
I think this is the same family.
Mm-hmm. He used to go out and he'd crack up his airplane and stuff. Here he comes walking.
Well, what they always said about a good landing walked away from.
One time he didn't come back.
Finally got him. Well, I've forgotten.
Yep.
Well, maybe we ought to show Walter. Do you have a 1953 map of this area by any chance?
Oh, I have some maps over there, yes.
Well, you may have this one. This was the original of this was left in our house by Stubbings. Oh, here, let's turn it around here and put some weights
what
on it.
What time did you guys get to play in Stubbings?
58.
Yeah,
I was about here, here's, let's see. Here's Maranatha. Lundquist. Okay, here you are.
Yeah, there we are.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Carl was living here, and Don had this when I homesteaded. So we homesteaded here. And then George Lyle, he didn't come in here until a year or two afterwards, a year afterwards. And then Harold didn't homestead until several years later.
Hi, I'm Walter.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We'll have to play this tape for you so you can see what you did.
I know. God, the doctor did a lot longer than I did.
So when we have Sheriff, let's see, no, here's Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
You say that he built a house here, then he also built across the street.
Up across the road. Then.
Well, did he get another piece of land or did the road change?
No, it was all part of his homestead. He had 160 there. So he probably had 320. When he homesteaded, they could get 320.
So he started out with this little piece here?
Well, he must have sold off, right?
He sold to these people then?
He sold the property, yeah. No, he had a home. McQuinn moved up there where Shear made his last house.
Oh, okay.
That's where McQuinn, right. That's where he lived, in that cabin. Yeah.
That's interesting that he kept just a little chunk for himself.
Well, no, he didn't. He had quite a bit there when Dave bought it from him. No, he didn't keep anything.
Oh,
he sold
Dave?
It all.
Yeah. Well, now these must have been on this part that McQuinn had, weren't they?
When he left or died, he was up on that part, yeah. But he still had all of this down here.
Hmm.
And then Dave bought it. Started buying it, and then Charles Ward back in here, but Dave got all this that he had bought this down here.
So why don't I get you a pencil? I want you to mark in there about what his original piece was.
Well, I'm not sure whether he had 320 or 160, but I think he probably had 320 because.
And we're talking about Shear, right?
Yeah.
He was.
Here's his. They show here is just that little piece.
That's probably where he had his little house. He might have kept that. Well, he probably kept some on both sides of the road.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the road.
The road just comes straight up here and then come around here.
Well, did it?
It didn't cut across here. It came right up to the corner. Made the corner and came around.
So it came over here to Metcalf's?
Well, right up to the corner of the further hill there.
Past
where.
Ward's Hill?
In back of where Keith Clark lives now.
Oh, okay.
Road went right around the upper field of back of Keith's place.
Okay, that's Betty Day's, if you know where that is. Okay, here's Kobe. Wait a minute. Earl? Yeah, that's about right, isn't it?
Well,
or was it here?
McQuinn, it'd been in here. It'd been right
here?
In here.
Yeah, okay, so that's where Kobe was.
Yeah, right in here.
Well, wait a minute. Here's Brockman's. This is where Nordale is.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh.
And so this is going to be down in the swamp.
Oh, okay. Then it would have been right in here where Kobe was. Right on this corner here.
Okay. And now the road.
Where McMillan's, this road that goes downward from McMillan's here, they live here where Earl used to live.
Right.
And Colby had this 10 acres right here in this corner.
Oh, okay. Let's kind of mark that in there because we're always looking for that. Colby. I'm going to write C-E.
That's where where Donkey's is.
Yeah.
Then Donkey.
Colby Everhart. That was your brother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know
that. And the Donkey bought it. 10 acres, and then Donkey bought more there later.
Oh,
so Donkey's on Colby's old.
Yes.
Right.
That used to be Dusty Bonnet's. See, their house, when they first homesteaded, the house was up above the road. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted to prove up on this. They only had 80 acres up there, and then they wanted to prove up, so they moved the house down across the road where it is now.
Oh, okay. They actually moved the house.
Yes.
And this is the same house that Donkeys added on to later, isn't it?
Should we make a note that Donkeys was there on that property?
I think I know it.
Oh, okay.
And so the house was across the street on Earl Herney's.
No, it was up on Quinn's. It was up here.
Oh, well, if it was up here, then Donkeys must be over here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's
okay,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Let's
that's
get
right.
rid of this other one here.
That's right, because this, see, they homesteaded this first, and then they wanted this piece down here, so they had to have a house on it. So they moved the house. They already had it in a cesspool and everything up above here.
Did they actually prove up on that before?
Yes.
Okay, so they homesteaded a second time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they could, you could add on.
All right.
So you got the 150.
I see.
Years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was just that 40 that they added on. I see. Okay, I'm going to make it.
Yeah, that was Mickey's and Dusty's.
And was that a log house or a
frame
house?
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey now was Tilly's daughter. Tilly Brockman's daughter.
Her adopted daughter?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, Tilly actually had.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. With Henry or someone
no,
else?
No. You were talking about that little cabin over here off
on Harold's place.
And I don't know whether he was a father of Mickey or not. But
he was a former husband
of
Tilly's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
Well, if you can come up with that name, we'll be interested. I don't know whether he outfitted
it. It should be in the old maps of the borough.
Yeah, we need to hunt out some more maps.
So are we talking over here? No.
No.
Because it was one of the old homesteads.
Yeah, down here. Mm-hmm.
It was one of the old homesteads that was first out in this before when Frank
Kessler?
That had the 5 acres on the point here. What
oh,
the name?
This one,
that's the wrong.
Betchard?
Betchard, yeah.
That's a B.
Yeah, make a B.
He had 5 acres there.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Nordell Road comes right through it now. And he used to experiment with trees and all kinds of plants.
Right.
Doing things like
that. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to the experimental farm one of these days and ask him if they have any record of that.
Oh, yeah, because he worked with them.
Yeah, I get it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We were looking at this record of vital statistics in the 40s, and he's in there. He died in 49, and there are 3 different references. So they obviously wrote him up for more than just an obituary.
He had fruit trees, some little fruit trees, and he...
Kind of like what Claire did.
Oh, he tried all kinds of stuff, and he worked with the university the experimental farm.
Well, there should be some information on him that would be interesting to read.
He was, one time when we first built over here, we had our first part of our house, and we came home one time and looked in the cupboard, and here's some cabbage heads and stuff, and he'd been up, and he brought up to us.
Wow, what a nice guy.
How did he get around? Did he have a vehicle or something?
No.
Because there's no road as
just
such.
Just by foot?
Yeah.
Well, see, everyone used to use the old winter trails.
Yeah, that'd be a lot
Henry
smarter.
And Tilly, they take their eggs in with the tractor. AC tractor, the wagon, and they load their eggs up and go down the winter trail.
You're talking about the winter trail at the base of the hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd cut quite a few miles off, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
It would have to be when there were optimum conditions to drive. They couldn't do that during breakup.
Was somebody plowing the old winter trail or dragging it or anything?
Oh, no. Everyone, you did for yourself.
Yeah.
Everyone,
did you use that old winter trail when you first came out?
No. The road ended at Steel Creek, and when the time we started building, then it ended up where Nordale is now. But,
And actually, that's about right, this one that they show here, isn't it?
Oh, they do have it, the sled road?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
In the wintertime, they kept it open up to the Chena Hot Springs. And the cars we used to look down and see the cars and stuff going back and forth up to Chena Hot Springs in the winter.
All the way out?
Oh, yes.
On that winter trail?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Now, this trail must have started from what where the there road was.
Wood road that came up.
Yeah. See, that's another sled road, but they don't show it.
Oh, wood road that came up in there.
Well, when you came out here, were the hills all denuded of timber?
No, just like they are now. Oh. Trees are bigger now, but they had been, all the lower area had been spruce, big spruce and stuff that had all been cut for firewood.
For the steam wheelers, right?
No, for for the NC company, for power plant.
Oh, I thought maybe it was for the stern wheelers.
They used to go across the little field and haul wood in the wintertime. But that was before my time, because when I came here, they're already burning coal.
What year did you come here?
47.
Oh, okay. You already got that.
Yeah, soon as the railroad came in, then coal was. Of course, was the mid 20s by the time.
Everything in town was. Well, a lot of wood in town yet, but mostly coal. Everything fired.
As far as the power plants were concerned,
the FE company was all coal and NC.
Was there a lot of smog in the airbase from the coal?
Who worried about smog then?
You were just glad you
had
it.
We had ice fog that we haven't seen ice fog in Fairbanks for 30 years, that like it used to be. But nobody worried about that smog. That's a bunch of malarkey.
There wasn't even the word.
It was healthy air, nothing to worry about. I mean.
Well, there weren't quite as many people then.
Yeah,
for sure.
But the ice fog was so thick you couldn't see two cars ahead of you.
It was colder then.
It'd be 50 below, and it wouldn't get warmer than 50 below for a week or two at a time.
Yeah, the first year we came up here, it was that way. And we thought it was always going to be that way.
Yeah, that's right. That was normal. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is the way it is now. These people that complain about cold.
Well, lucky for all of us, we all have a relative mind. Although some of us can remember 50 below, we don't have it actively a remembrance.
Yeah.
I worked out on the airplanes at 72 below. Out on the ramp.
Was that out at Weeks Field? Did you ever work there?
Oh, yes. And then I
before worked, the library was built there.
No, I worked where the bowling alley is. I worked in there 5 years when there was aircraft in there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. It is a hangar.
Sure.
I forget that.
So is the pawn shop there on Airport Road, Two Dice?
We moved out to the International in October of 52. We moved out to the International Airport.
So how many years did you work at the Weeks Field Airport?
5 years.
Oh, okay. Was that, what airline was that?
Northern Consolidated. And I worked 24 years out at the International.
Did you learn airplane mechanicking on the job?
On my own.
Before you came to Alaska?
No.
Oh, so you
never did any work on an airplane.
Well, I had assumed that was something the Army taught you, but you said it wasn't.
No, I just, anything I wanted to do, I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you arrive here in the Army? Is that what brought you to Fairbanks?
No. Dorothy brought me here.
Oh, you met Dorothy in the
Army? I knew her before I went in service. Her brother was married to my sister.
Oh, okay.
But then she corresponded with me while I was in the service. And,
that's how you got out. You guys probably already covered that
story. It was kind of funny. I was in Atlantic City, and I got a letter from her one day, and she wanted me to write back, but write like I was writing to her first. Her mother wouldn't know she wrote to me.
A little secret.
So I wrote, I was corresponding with her all the time. I was in India.
I must have been, I don't suppose any of those letters got saved. What a shame, because boy, all the history.
Oh, that would be interesting.
All the history.
I was working down in Idaho after I got out. She came down in the fall of 46, and we went around together and stuff, and I decided to come to Alaska for the summer, so came up here in 47.
She was still living with Carl and
Yes.
Ann at the time?
Well, they had the house there on Cowley.
Mike.
Oh, okay. She was living there.
Yeah, her and Anne and her mother were living there.
In that house with the corner, with the windows in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I drove by there the other day and noticed the,
Bill,
I guess the horse barn in the backyard there.
Bill built the house. Bill and Mary lived there first.
Mm-hmm. I thought Harold and Carl worked on it too.
No, Bill and Mary, they drove it, and that's where they lived.
Hmm. So and then Cheryl's parents lived just
right down the street, right down Charles Street there.
Yeah, because as I left that house the other day, I was driving around in there and said, oh, this is Cheryl's
place. Well, Cheryl's grandparents.
Grandparents. Cheryl was, she was raised down here on Charles
Street.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to drive around the area. I don't realize that Nancy doesn't know her.
I'm not family around here. I didn't
know. Springbet was there.
Yeah, they had a place on
7th. Yeah, right there,
Oh, very nice house.
Yeah. Yes, beautiful house. I looked at that house.
Mm-hmm. Well, the family. They had a log house there, but that's where
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is the red and white house with the garage in the back.
When I came here, they were living in a log house there.
Oh, they were,
You mean Dad and...
No, Springbets.
Springbets were living in the
Your
log
mother,
house?
Your mother, yeah.
Oh, my mom.
I think they might have had the frame house built, but they were still using the log house.
Oh, okay, because when Dad came, his mom lived in that log house.
Yeah.
After they lived in that frame house.
I never met Gordon, but he was already grown when I came to visit.
Was your grandfather also Gordon?
Yes,
Gordon.
Yes.
Because
he was
this
a carpenter for Pan American.
Oh, this book of statistics tells that Gordon Springbet died at such and such a time, and it couldn't have been your uncle. It had to be an earlier generation.
Oh, you got that book too. Dad and Jean just got that.
Oh, did they?
I have a saw over there that they had given Bill or Harold at Springbet used to have, has his name on it.
Oh, that's great. My grandfather.
What did he do?
He was a carpenter for Pan American. He did aircraft woodwork for Pan American. Worked on the old Belancus. Rebuilt the
same sort of thing that you were doing too.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I heard that he got on with Pan Am because Pan Am had a little crash in Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And Gordon
yeah.
was there as a miner, my grandfather, and he fixed the skis on the plane, and so they hired him.
Yeah.
He made new skis for the plane.
Yeah, that's what he did, the aircraft woodwork. He was the carpenter for Pan Am. He worked over there in the hangar where the bullion alley is.
Mm-hmm. So did you two work together?
No, he was already dead when I came.
Okay.
Yeah, he would have died before 50, because that book goes up to 49, through 49,
okay.
I think. So.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I went, started out working, just started on my own and worked up. And in 97, I got a Master of Mechanics Award from FAA.
Wow, that is fantastic.
You had to be working around airplanes for 50 years and have your A&P license for 30. And I got a Charles Taylor Master Mechanic Award.
Well, you rebuilt that plane in your garage, right, and went down to Anchorage to
the
Air Museum?
Yeah, it's in the Air Museum. In the Anchorage, and then there's Fairchild T-24 that's in there that I've built a stabilizer for in my basement here in 90.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the airplanes that the CAA used to have. They brought to Alaska. And they rebuilt it in the museum there, and I built the stabilizer for it. That's in the museum. Then the old Norseman that I rebuilt the wings on in 48, made skis for it and stuff, it's in the museum there.
In Anchorage.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
I suppose you've seen the aerial pictures that Tom took of
your
place.
Very
aren't those neat, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. David gave me a copy.
So what kind of maps do you have? You say you do have this one?
Well, I have smaller ones than this, but it's made up the same way,
Do you have any that are earlier than this, you think?
This
is
53. Don't know.
This is 53.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have any earlier than that, no. You should be able to come up with any of that stuff in there in the land office.
We need to do some looking.
Well,
you want to remember why this map was made.
This map was made for the school district tax collecting purposes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you do,
I know what property they have. And,
here's some different aerials that you may or may not have seen. This is, here's Fairbanks in 99 and 49.
Oh, yeah.
Pull it over if you want to, where you can get a little closer. It's hard to see.
Boy, a lot of difference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just building International.
Yeah,
there's Weeks Field.
Yeah, right there.
And Ladd.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is the first place I worked. I'd feel when I came to town.
Oh, you didn't work at Weeks Field?
No, I worked
later.
I drove
trucks. Oh, I see.
For the summer.
So yeah. This is the trail that you came in on, if you came in on the winter trail?
No. No, it would have been
down
in here.
Lazelle
Road would be about this one here, I think, and that's below the below the graveyard.
We figured that this is Steve's.
Yeah, coming up here, and then we don't get out to the Hot Springs Road.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we do. We don't get out to Steel Creek. I think this is the Hot Springs right there.
Yeah. This is Steele's probably days.
No, I don't think they were that far out. I think that's more like Henry's Holmes.
Yeah, could be.
Although I'm not sure.
That could be.
We don't get out there.
Yeah, winter trail would be down in here.
Mm-hmm.
Come around here.
Well, isn't this, I think this is the graveyard, isn't it? And didn't the winter trail come in below it?
Right in off of that field.
This has got to be the field.
Came around
farm.
And back.
Oh, you may be right. Yeah, here's the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have, was that fuel farm there that back then?
This is 99, 49? Must be.
Oh,
military
yeah.
would have had it? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Right along with Lad.
Yep.
Well, this is yours to take home. We got a whole bunch of copies of this.
Okay.
And, but you can spend a lot of time looking at that. Yankovich Road stops at Yankovich Farm out here, wherever we are on. Let's see, here's Farmer's Loop.
So is this University Hill?
No, that's the airport.
Oh, here's University over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pan Am moved out in 40, or not 40, but 50 or 51. See, when I came here, Pan Am was landing at Ladd Field. They were flying bigger airplanes.
Mm-hmm,
so they were using Ladd Field.
Right.
Then they moved out there about 51, probably.
Well, Maddie came in on Pan Am and landed at Ladd Field in, I think it was 51 or 2.
Yeah.
In January, and it was
official. We moved out there in October of 52.
Yeah.
And Pan Am was already there.
Mm-hmm.
Alaska was out there all.
She must have come in on one of the last flights to land.
I came up on a DC-3.
Yeah.
We landed at Annette Island. Juno?
Yep.
White Horse?
Wow, in Net Island?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Needed only shorter runways then.
Oh, yeah.
And if you wanted to go in town, you got in a
goose. Goose. That's right.
I've been on that 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, that's right. We were in Ketchikan just 3 weeks ago. Marianne went down to Bowles in the state tournament.
Uh-huh.
That's where I started getting my problems with my bleeding.
Oh, yeah, she said you'd been in the hospital for
a few 5 days. My platelets got down to under 5,000, and there was.
Is that your white blood cells?
Oh, that's the clotting process in your blood. It was supposed to be 150,000. They said I was in critical deal. I started bleeding in the back of my mouth, up the throat, and got blood blisters in my mouth. My legs broke out through the pores and stuff. And
wow. Well, Ann said you thought it was from taking aspirin all these years?
No. They had no connection whatsoever. They said it's a blood disease. They have a name about that long for it.
And it comes, they don't know exactly what triggers it. There's parts of your body starts fighting the other part.
Autoimmune.
Yeah, immune stuff. Mm-hmm. And they said, I get cleared up, probably never happen again. Anything, it's just, I was going to try to get on the airplane and come home. And Mary Ann said, no, go to the emergency room. And the doctor said, it's a good thing I did. He said, I might not have made it, but because I could have started bleeding in the brain. And
so. Wow, gosh. Wow, Mary Ann was your guardian angel.
But I was real impressed with the hospital there. They were excellent.
This was in Reno, you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe I probably got better care there than I would have gotten here in Fairbanks. Better doctors. Two of my doctors were from India, specialists.
Yeah, isn't that
amazing? They have a big medical, maybe more than one medical school. I've known people who went to India to get their medical license. Of course, that was also because it was easier to get into medical school there, which isn't necessarily a...
But they were very thorough. I mean, they were on me right away. Right, they gave me platelets, transfusion in the emergency room, and put me on steroids. And I'm still on steroids, 80 milligrams. As soon as they get me stabilized, then they have to taper me off.
What are the steroids supposed to do?
Brings up your platelets.
I never heard of that. I just don't know much about them. I only hear about the squirt steroids.
It was supposed to be up in the 150,000 and stuff, and I was below 5. And then they wouldn't even let me out of the hospital until they got it way up. I was up to 50-some thousand when they let me out.
If they could accomplish this in 5 days, huh? This is amazing.
They just everything there right in the emergency room. They had specialists, they had blood specialists and everything. They were already checking me out while I was still in the emergency room. But they were very, very thorough. Took all kinds of ultrasounds
and
biopsy on my bone marrow. And
yes. You have bone
Yes. I guess I might have made it, and then they said maybe I might.
Maybe you wouldn't.
He said that once you get up in that airplane, they can't pull over and park.
That's right.
That is darn scary.
You've seen people with real heavy dose of freckles.
Mm-hmm.
My legs were all the way up.
Oh boy.
And red, where the blood seeping out through the pores and stuff.
Is Mary Ann going to come over for lunch?
No, I got to go in town and get a blood test. I went in yesterday, and they wanted to check for the platelets, and I've been checking for my Coumadin deal, PR. And I went upstairs, and I said, now, is there some more paperwork I need? All this girl said, no, they have everything down there. So I went down and got the blood test, and then we got back home from bowling. My doctor called and said I had to come in for another blood test because they didn't take any blood for the testing of platelets.
That was the whole point. What time is your, do you have to do that?
Well, I'm going in, I'll try to get in.
Well,
can I
give
you a bowl of soup
first?
Time
to eat lunch first?
No.
Here, I'll make potato soup for potato farmers.
Mary Ann will have something ready. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get one.
Okay, and that is yours too, Walt. That's one of those maps, but nobody's written on that one. You can write on it yourself.
Yeah.
See if you want to. But I bet your kids will get a kick out of both of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is Wayne still in Anchorage?
Yes. Yeah. He works for the FAA down there.
That was the last I'd heard, I guess.
He's still doing the biology kind of stuff for the FAA?
Well, he was in the fire safety.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the fire safety. He's wanting to try to get a different position because they get a bunch of people in there and they start fucking you on this and that, trying to get your job and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting tired of it, fucking
competition.
Yeah.
every job that seems to happen sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's he has a master's in fish and game management.
Mm-hmm. And he's not using it where he is, I think.
No.
Yeah. Would he like to be back in that field?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd like to try something different for a little while.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, you can't stay for lunch.
Well,
we were wanting to feed you.
Yeah, they have to get to find out what my platelets are doing,
yeah.
Because that's when they get it, we're stabilized, and they start taping me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you won't keep track of that for sure.
Yeah. In fact, taking such a heavy dose, when Mary Ann went in to get the prescription filled, the pharmacy guy, he called the doctor to see if
it was right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's good. That's really good that a pharmacist is that astute. Mm-hmm. Just think, is there something wrong with this?
Yeah.
Well, you can keep going back to that pharmacist.
Yeah.
Before I forget, what we want to do with these eventually, I've been transcribing them on the paper, and we would like to be able to share them around with everybody else, because I think everyone will get a big kick out of reading all the other stories.
Yeah.
All the lies you told, you know, you'll probably hear. So if that's okay with you, I'll bring you a copy of this when I get it typed up.
Yeah, okay.
Great. Good seeing you, Walter.
Yeah.
Hope the blood test goes well.
Oh,
yeah, you just have to get around the corner.
Yeah, they want to get it up in the above the 100.
You want to sit down here and put your shoes on? You don't need that.
They want to get it up to the 100 before they take me off with the steroids or something like that.
Guess what?
Little vagabond dog.
Yes.
No one knows what there is. No one.
We have most of us have learned not to put any dogs and track things in the lower garden.
Oh.
Keep them up, but sometimes we don't remember. And they all smell like it. Were your some of your dogs gone yesterday?
The odd part of this deal was I felt fine. I didn't know there was anything wrong with me.
Huh? Or that'd be sneaky then.
Yeah.
Have that happen with no warning.
And I started getting those blood blisters in my mouth.
Yeah.
Did you try those 45-minute tapes?
No, this...